Recently, the Southern Poverty Law Center has suffered a setback, and we're going to talk about that right now and what it means to the Christian community at large. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Abraham Hamilton III, who is the American Family Association's General Counsel and Public Policy Analyst, and he's also a host of a radio program. Abraham, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. So glad to be with you.
And Abraham and I have something in common. We were both saved in New Orleans, Louisiana, way back when. But I want to ask you, first of all, for those not even familiar with the organization, what is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and why is it a topic of interest and importance to Christians?
Well, first and foremost, Southern Poverty Law Center is an organization that was involved at the tail end of the Civil Rights Movement, who did some good work early on in their existence. But as organizations like the Ku Klux Klan and others receded into obscurity, they had to find a new shtick. And I say shtick not to be insensitive or demeaning, but it really is an accurate characterization. The founders, Morris Deeds and Millard Fuller, worked together in legal work and as well as in founding the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Millard Fuller said himself, quote, "Morris and I shared the overriding purpose of making a pile of money. We were not particular about how we did it. We just wanted to be independently rich." Well, Millard Fuller ended up, you know, getting out of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Morris Deeds ended up continuing with it. And so as the Ku Klux Klan and others like them receded into obscurity, they had to find a new venture. And so they ended up then taking up the cause of what I refer to as the sexual deviancy agenda, and ended up making a boatload of money in the process.
And if you go on their website, you can see that they have something called a hate map or map of hate. But if you look at it, they have not just, you know, this chapter of the KKK or that chapter of the neo-Nazis. They also have the American Family Association, which is where Abraham, whom we're talking with right now, where you work. They also have D. James Kennedy Ministries, which is where I work. They have the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is an organization the late Dr. D. James Kennedy helped co-found with James Dobson and other people. These are supposedly hate groups. And then they also have a whole page, a series of pages, of extremists of hate. And including in those, they have profiles there of your boss, Tim Wildman. Yeah. They have a profile there of David Barton, whom I've interviewed multiple times, both for radio and TV, who is an expert on the American Christian heritage and our history, and how is he a hater? I mean, it's just absurd. It's like, wow, they're just looking for hate in all the wrong places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the reality is that they are a partisan, progressive, ideologically driven entity that uses their history as a battering ram, so to speak, to really crush the presence of Christian fidelity within the contemporary American culture. That if you stand on biblical values, you are, contrary to popular parlance concerning tolerance, you are not to be tolerated. You are to be destroyed. And so you have groups like ours, AFA, D. James Kennedy Ministries, ADF, who just, won a victory at the Supreme Court, referred to as haters simply because we have a view of the world based on the scripture that they don't agree with.
And of course, this labeling of hate, you know, you're a hate group and so forth, that actually led directly to violence a few years ago at the Family Research Council. For those living in a cave for the last few years, by the way, there are some Christian people who are aware of a lot of things who still don't even know about what happened on August 15th, 2012. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you had a guy who I would strongly consider someone motivated by not love, who used the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map to locate the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. The criminal who was convicted for a federal crime found the Family Research Council's headquarters, entered it, and actually shot their security guard. And had in his backpack Chick-fil-A sandwiches because he wanted to make a statement based on SPLC's hate map that he found what they did to be objectionable. And so you have this act of domestic terrorism, quite frankly, all inspired by the SPLC. And so it begs the question, who really are advocates of hate in our society?
Yeah. By the way, just a terribly devious thought just occurred to me. What if future editions of the hate map put all the Chick-fil-A locations, you know, on the hate map? And that'd actually be a pretty good app. Then you could figure out, oh, you know, I'm new to town. Let's see. Oh, here, there's a Chick-fil-A right down the street here. I'm just kidding. All right. Let's talk about the new lawsuit and why that is significant. And by the way, we should add to this real quickly. Some of those that they pick on at the SPLC and say, these are hate groups, are those who warn us about radical Islam. So Robert Spencer, again, a common guest I've had on this program and continue to have, he warns us about jihad. Well, he's supposedly a hater and in the extremists of hate because he warns about these things. So anyway, one of these persons so accused in relation to radical Islam sued the Southern Poverty Law Center. So tell us about that.
Yeah, a gentleman by the name of Majid Nawaz, who has an organization, I believe the name is Quilliam, to where he seeks to expose Islamic terrorism and Islamic extremism, and he is a Muslim himself. Yet the Southern Poverty Law Center included him on their anti-Muslim extremist list, which is also a list that had a woman by the name of Ayan Hirsi Ali, who just happens to be a survivor of female genital mutilation, who goes around the world saying that, you know, it's a bad idea to allow an ideology that would literally mutilate the bodies of women in the name of their religion. She too was listed on their anti-Muslim extremist list. And so Majid Nawaz filed a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have now settled that lawsuit and paid out a settlement to him of $3.375 million because they recognize that, we really stepped in it with this one.
But now this is just a kind of a, you know, chump change for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. It's chump change. And it makes you wonder, what type of things are they doing when the Southern Poverty Law Center has an endowment worth over $320 million? And it's been demonstrated based on their IRS Form 990s that 20% of their money they deposit into offshore banking accounts.
Wow.
Only $70 million. So what type of civil rights charities has that type of money? And then when you add in that they spend less than $3 million annually actually doing legal work, it really puts into perspective. They may call themselves Southern. They may have the word poverty in their name as well as law, but it's not very much poverty nor very much law going on with the SPLC.
You know, we went to to Montgomery, Alabama, where this is located, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we did some interviews with some of the people associated or, you know, related to basically fighting it. And something that one of their justices on the Supreme Court of Alabama, Tom Parker, something he said, you know, he said something almost exactly along the lines of what you just said. And I said, hey, well, let's take our camera crew. We'll go across town on the other side of the tracks, and we'll videotape some of this poverty. And there it is. I mean, you just go and see it, and it's all over the place. And apparently the SPLC is doing nothing to alleviate that kind of poverty. You see all kinds of housing developments and so forth, and it's all still going there. But meanwhile, the SPLC is making lots of money. And if your exact statistics are correct about the $3 million, their settlement to this Muslim fellow actually exceeds the amount of money that they spend in working every year towards, you know, fighting supposedly for social justice.
You know, Jerry, it's even worse than that, because even in 2015, for example, a year where they paid over $20 million in salaries, on their own reporting, they provided just $61,000 in legal assistance. So it really has taken on the form now of a money-making charade, and it seems that making hate maps tends to pay.
Yeah, basically, so for those not familiar with it, they have this extensive mailing list, and many of them are Northeastern liberals, and they scare them into thinking that there's all this hate going on, which is not to deny that sometimes there is real hate. And by the way, how about a comment about Charlottesville? Because that terrible incident, which was hate-filled, certainly plays into their hands, you know, as if, oh, this represents what's going on in America every single day.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they have done rather successfully to this point, using very isolated incidences like that to fan the flames of hysteria in the country. And that's why it's also so important that they have this incestuous relationship with the mainstream media, because they aid in that perception being painted as if this is happening all over the country. When you dig down a bit deeper, you find that really these things are not happening the way that they're being displayed in the mainstream media, nor the way that the SPLC reports it, but it is to their benefit, SPLC, to make people believe that that is reality here in America.
There are definite reports from numerous sources about censorship on the internet by some of the major tech companies, and one or two of these stories, you know, some of these stories indicate that the SPLC provides the information by which some of these big tech companies do their discriminating. So, in other words, we're here at Google, and we're relying on the SPLC and their information about hate in America to say, you know, to make sure that this hate speech is squelched. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google, which owns YouTube, by the way, and Amazon, all rely at various levels on SPLC to aid them in determining what is and what's not hate speech on their platforms, which, based on the SPLC's definition, they end up censoring viable viewpoints based on SPLC's definition. Amazon, for example, their Amazon Smile program, which is a program that they have that allows people, when purchasing products through Amazon, they can make donations to various charities. Amazon Smile has given SPLC complete control over who is admitted and who is excluded from their Amazon Smile charity. So because the SPLC, for example, has determined the Alliance Defending Freedom to be a hate group, Amazon Smile has kicked ADF off of their program.
Right.
That no longer allows them to participate and collect donations. And so that just gives you an example of the pervasiveness of SPLC's influence in our culture.
All right, so tell us about the potential impact of the recent lawsuit and settlement. And let me put it this way, is there blood in the water?
I believe there very well could be, because this shows there's been a pattern, right? So you have all the way back during the presidential campaign, Dr. Ben Carson was labeled as anti-extremist because of his views on marriage, that they had to come out and apologize to him for doing that and take his name off that list. You had the incident with Family Research Council that had just happened. That happened in 2012, where they actually had someone into the facilities with a weapon based on SPLC's hate map.
Sure.
Then you have organizations like the Alliance Defending Freedom being labeled as haters when they're doing nothing but representing people pro bono at the Supreme Court. You have D. James Kennedy Ministries, which your supporters know very well, that you just stand on biblical values. We have groups like mine, the American Family Association, that the country is beginning to catch up to the lack of credibility that the SPLC has, and actually the media is being apprised of it as well. I actually had a conversation with a person that didn't know about all of this stuff, who found out about this settlement with SPLC and Majid Nawaz, who asked his organization, and this was not a conservative reporter or organization, who said, why are we still relying on the SPLC? Mm. It appears that they have a problem with the truth, and we put our credibility on the line if we rely on them. That is a sea shift. A sea change in the normal posture many of these outlets have concerning SPLC.
Okay, we have 15 seconds for a closing thought on the SPLC.
Well, I just think the time is ripe for the country, and particularly the news media, to stop relying on the publicly discredited SPLC. And this recent lawsuit is just an example that the Southern Poverty Law Center really is the Southern Poverty Lie Center, and they should not be relied upon.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Abraham Hamilton III, again, the General Counsel and Public Policy Analyst for the American Family Association, AFA.net, for more information. Thank you, Abraham. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Bye-bye.